Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The OG of Jets podcasting and blogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Play Like a Jet Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I'm your host, Brian Bassett. And with me, as ever, as always, my staunch and stalwart companions, that's the word, are Josh Conrad and Travis Milton. Travis, so good to have you back. How you been, bud?
Been getting my butt kicked. I got pneumonia. That's been a fun one. Pneumonia and, you know, pushing through 140, 160 person parties every day. Nice. Plus everybody's, you know, 20 person office
family. Yeah. Or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Secret Santa gift exchanges in the middle of the restaurant.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you guys have any family, in the restaurant or hospitality or even, retail, give them a little extra love in this season. A lot of people don't realize how I know the season's tough on everybody, but man, we just get pummeled. I'm alive, made it through. We're just pushing for that prize of January 2nd.
All right, buddy, you can do it. I know you got it in you. So just like you're going to limp to the finish, it looks like the Jets are going to limp to the finish here of this season. After a bright spot against the Texans a week ago, the Jets travel down to Hard Rock Stadium and get brained by a rock. I don't know else. Like something, they got brained by a hard rock. Kind of literally, Jets lose 30-0 to the Dolphins. Brutal loss. Team imploding on the sidelines. Players yelling. Demoralized locker room. Injuries to the quarterback. We're going to get to all of it. The offensive line is in their 11th iteration. Travis, we haven't had you for a couple weeks, so can you just talk about the line for a bit? I'm just going to basically say, my daughter had her Nutcracker performance yesterday, so I saw the first half, and then I knew what was happening once that first half happened. I know it's going to happen the rest of this game. I don't need to watch the rest of this game, and I need to go back and watch this. I've seen this game before, but can we talk about the 11th iteration of this line and what it did or what it did not do yesterday? Because it was horrifying.
It did not communicate. Like the lack of discipline and the lack of communication. When you see plays where Becton and Tippmann are just letting guys go through, it's not them. It's schematic. It's coaching. Keith Carter fucking sucks. he needs to go. He needs to be gone. I've said this since he got hired. I'm so sick of this guy. The offensive line, I get it. Yeah, injuries suck. But we're not the only offensive line dealing with a massive amounts of injuries. And we do have some talent on there. Tippmann's great. Becton is better than people say he is. Lake and Tomlinson's had a pretty good year. I'm sorry. There you can't use that as an excuse. Like, these guys are just getting completely outcoached thoroughly all around. And it's really, really sad watching it because, you know, I've said it before as well. Like, it's not, like you said, it's not Zach Wilson. Doesn't matter what quarterback's in there. It's just, there's no accountability from the coaching staff. It's all of the things that we've been saying for 6-8 weeks. It's just, yeah, same story, different
book. Week, different stadium. Okay. Yeah. Josh, you watched part of it and then I think you threw up your hands and probably just enjoyed some time with your twin boys. But, yeah, talk about what's going through your game, your head as you're watching this game unfold. Just
there, yeah.
Especially after last week, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've all gotten conditioned to, is this a game we're going to compete in or not? My favorite thing to figure out is how soon in the game can I figure out if we're going to be in this or not? And there was a classic Zach Wilson drop back 8 yard spin move right into a monster sack. And I think I tweeted it or I texted it to somebody and just said, oh, we got bad Zach today. We're going to lose. Game's over. And it might have been midway through this first quarter, midway through the early in the second quarter. So very early, we knew we're not getting good Zach today. And if, you know, again, we can certainly talk about the line and other position areas, but if Zach's doing that, we're killing drives with 12 yard sacks. It snowballs for him. It snowballs so quickly. And he just gets stuck in his head, stuck in, bad rhythm or, you know, bad fundamentals. And so it was pretty early that we knew what this game was going to look like. And it's strange because pregame, I was pretty optimistic. When we heard Tyreek Hill was not going to play, started to sound like, man, now we've got our two great corners to really lock down, Waddle. And if we can do that, you know, our run defense is not bad. Keep two in the pocket, like we're going to be in this. And yet, I think it was 17-0 in the early of the second quarter when Zach took that sack. And I went, okay, well, this is not going to get my full attention for the rest of the day. So yeah, we knew pretty early, that it was not going to be a competitive game. And yeah, we're just like, it's the same. It's the Taylor Swift concert. It's just the same show in a different city, every single week.
Yeah. So Josh, one of the things we talked about last week was, you know, back in the consistency and right. I mean, the line was doing him no favors. You know, they just were not blocking well, communicating as Travis was talking about. There was just, you know, too much going wrong. And I mean, I think someone screenshotted, I can't remember if it was in our group chat or on Twitter or whatever, but there was a moment where I think it was Zach was basically like standing, you know, basically where the pocket should be, or behind where the pocket should be. And there were three or four completely unblocked Dolphins that had just engulfed, went right through the line. Just there was, it was like the offensive line was three Dolphins players or four Dolphins players. Yeah. It was horrifying, just absolutely horrifying. And so just to, you know, I can't wait for this season to be over because I can't keep talking about how atrocious this team is week in and week out and how inconsistent they are week in and week out. And, you know, like when you go to the post game and you watch Robert Saleh's comments and he's like, oh, you know, it's disappointing. You know, how are you doing over the course of the season? It's disappointing starting from the first tiers of the year in terms of how the offensive line has played. It's been a constant battle. I appreciate the heck out of these guys, and we have three games left to finish strong, you know, but like, are you kidding? And then it's like, oh gosh, we had a best week, you know, last week. And it's like, you know what? Like, just please stop with this like nonsense. Just,
I don't understand the play calling. I mean, when you've got an offensive line that you can't rely on, that you're looking at going, they're not doing their job, they're porous, they're not communicating well. That's when you absolutely start spreading out the ball. That's when you go full West Coast. You protect the line by using the quarterback. And Zach showed last week he can do it. He can at least, you know, spread the wealth around, you know, and not rely on early running and the play action that they were going off of on early downs. I just don't understand it. It seems like it should be second nature of you scheme to protect the most vulnerable position that you have, and they're doing the complete opposite.
Yeah. I don't get it either. And then, you know, they knew they were going to have to steal some possessions, Josh, right? Like, so they try with the fake punt and it doesn't work, you know, and hey, look, I get it. You're trying to manufacture some, you know, some scoring. But you know, it was just that fake punt was so indicative of the course of the game and just like everything we were going to see all game. So I don't know. Was there any one moment you mentioned kind of the Zach moment, but was there any bright spots in what you saw on Sunday, or was it just all, you know, a descending bowl of nonsense?
No, I really can't, nothing that should be elevated to the point of calling it a bright spot. Nothing felt redeemed in that game or building momentum upon it. Whether it's, you know, just this beaten down, exhausted defense trying to get off the field and be off the field for more than 3 to 4 plays at a time. Whether it's the weird, strange Zach Wilson, is he thirsty or does he have a concussion debate? And that's a pretty wide spectrum in between those things right before halftime, to Simeon in the second half. It just felt like we did not have anything go right in that game. It felt Robert Saleh's presser was just painful after the game. Just felt like, yeah, this is one where you burn the tape. But we've burnt this tape so many times at this point, like it's taping over the VHS tape to the point that it can no longer record. And you got squiggly lines running through Star Wars instead of watching it in its totality. It's just we need a new tape in this house. We just keep taping over the same one with another awful thing. And then the tape is ruined and no one wants to go to Radio Shack to buy a new one. That's what it feels like today. Nothing stood out to me as a bright spot. Cannot give us any hope out of that game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See
terms and conditions. 18+. Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Here's a crazy stat. I don't even understand this stat. So the Jets played, I believe, 58. Like the Jets had like 58 offensive snaps. The Dolphins had 61 offensive snaps. The differential between those, that number of plays was like, 6.5, well, 13 minutes, basically 36 minutes to 23 minutes of time. And then hold for it while I look up the total yards. The Jets had like 150 yards of, 15, and say what?
It's 103, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not counting the sacks. So, yeah, but probably, 103 total yards. So Miami Dolphins had 290 total yards. So how do you only make three less offensive plays than a team that you're playing, yet somehow manage to score 30 less points, have, 13 less minutes time of possession, and they basically triple your yards? You can't quadruple zero, but you know what I'm saying? Like in terms of the number of touchdowns, like there was I guess it was three touchdowns, but it blows my mind. It blows my ever loving mind. Like how this team just does some of these stats. And then, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but Michael Nani was talking about how often this coach is blown out. Robert Saleh has been blown out, basically more than any other coach. And I am fully in agreement. If you go find Michael Nani on Twitter in this thread he wrote, but the idea is I'm a believer that coaching only helps on the margins. Yes, it would be great to have Shanahan as a coach, or yes, it would be great to have McDaniels as a coach. But largely most coaching is a non-factor. It comes down to the players. Well, most of the impact that coaches have on teams is towards the negative, right? It's mostly a detriment. Like most of the impact that they have is that they are limiting players from doing what they should do. That's my kind of cynical approach on coaching. And like, I don't know how we can go this far and look at this coaching staff and not say that it is a drag on this team and their output. Like, I get it. Like, they don't have an offensive line. I get it. There's no quarterback to speak of. I get it. Like, they don't have a second receiver of any worth or ability. But like, how do you lose this badly, this consistently for this long? Like, now with the sort of team defensively that they have. So I don't have answers. I just have questions. Does anybody have answers to my questions? Because I don't have any.
No, but I got another stat that'll blow your mind.
Okay, please.
I want you guys to guess. How many of the five lowest yardage totals that the team has ever had have come in the last 3 years?
Oh, boy. I'm guessing
four. Go ahead, Josh. Four. I'll say two.
Dead. You dead split it. It's three.
Yeah. Lion's share.
Yep. We had 103 yards against the Dolphins, 103 yards last year against the Patriots, and the wonderful game in 2021 where we only had 53 yards against the Buffalo Bills.
So Saleh,
you're saying it can get worse.
Three of the, yeah,
you're saying it can get worse. Saying it is worse.
I mean, like, I hate to be this guy. I want to talk about Zach and the injury and all that in a second here, but like, I hate to be the guy. And I understand, like, you have an offensive system and you have things that you practice. And look, I get it. This coaching staff is not great, but like, could you try to do different things? Could you try and like, if you can't run the ball effectively up the middle and you can't pass the ball, like, could you, I don't know, like, try some rugby style plays, like try some wing tee or like, wishbone offense. Like, can we do something, even if it's like, back to the basics, like, the old Wildcat days? Yeah. Like, can we do something that's different that actually might let them? I mean, they let Raheem Mostert twice run the same play which was basically just stretch to the edge, right? Like, so you're telling me this offense doesn't have a fast enough player. And like, you know, you couldn't use a receiver or a tight end as a blocker and kind of just do something crazy where it's like, okay, all wide receivers off the field. Our only receivers out there are actually tight ends. We split them out or whatever. And then we just run these like kind of crazy pitch plays. I don't like just, I can't believe that I'm left. I'm so mad that this is what I am thinking about as I'm watching the game just totally melt and fall apart. But like, do you have these same thoughts or am I utterly crazy?
I do, but it's from our side, right? So as fans, as people that love this team, we're begging for any sort of momentum. And yet we're like, I think reminding ourselves. So for Saleh, for Nat Hackett, for the players, like they're, I said this a couple of weeks ago when quotes started coming out and things started flying and everybody's kind of starting to leak things through their agents to the press about some of their disdain or what their future is going to look like, that just don't be shocked when, you know, everyone's suddenly just kind of out for themselves. And so I think at this point, putting anything on tape that looks embarrassing for Robert Saleh, for Nat Hackett, is just not going to happen. Like, it's just going to be so vanilla the last couple of weeks of the season. Get to the off season, say all the right things, get your, you know, Robert Saleh can make all the excuses to keep his job. Like, I get it. Like, there's a self-preservation aspect to this that, you know, is that's the rub, is that as fans, we have a different agenda than coaches and players do. And that's super tricky to manage when you're losing, because we want the team to do anything they can to win. And yet these guys are not probably going to potentially make themselves look even more foolish in the hopes that another team next year wants to still hire them. So, it's not shocking to me. It is frustrating. But the fact that, you know, we're even having this conversation should indict all of this coaching staff to not be back next season, save maybe Jeff Ulbrich. But I think everybody else is just in self-preservation mode.
Do you think, Travis, this team is like this team, this coaching staff is safe? Like, are we held hostage by Aaron Rodgers at this point? Like, it just feels like, you know, oh, he's safe. It's assumed he's safe. But like, can they just go and get destroyed the next 3 weeks and then we actually have to have a conversation? Or is it just, no, everybody's safe, don't worry about it?
I really do think everybody's safe. Unfortunately, I don't think that Rodgers is going to do anything with Hackett, because Hackett's going to do what he wants him to do. I don't think Saleh's going anywhere. I if it was me, like, I would even I would go one step further and just admit that this whole fucking thing has been a debacle, and you can look at it and say that it has been, and tell Aaron, thanks, but no thanks. We're just going to go ahead and, you know, start from scratch all over again.
Pull the pin on this. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, go get Brian Callahan, get him to bring his dad along, fix the offensive line, draft some linemen, you know, push through with freaking Andy Dalton or some dumb fucker at quarterback that can't throw because he's old. I mean, you saw what Flacco did, it, you know, for the Browns, you know. Push through so we can get a decent quarterback. We're obviously going to have high draft picks for the next couple of years, so don't be scared that we're not going to have another shot at a quarterback that we can screw up again. Draft high and sell low. You know, Aaron Rodgers has it all hamstrung, and I think we all knew that this was not just a possibility but a probability, especially when the first domino to fall was Hackett getting hired, because I'm going to go out on a limb and say something insanely crazy right now. I think Adam Gase could do more with this team than we're seeing done.
Oh my God.
I 100% think that he could. I'm just sick of this coaching staff, like, just not coaching to the talent that we have. It's like trying to run a Mexican restaurant with a bunch of dudes that have been cooking Austrian food for their entire careers. It's just square peg, round hole. Like, it's just maddening. But yeah, I'm at the point where, fuck it, change the team name, get rid of the uniforms, Somebody lock up Woody Johnson. Let's just start completely from scratch.
Lock him up.
Yeah.
Lock him up.
Yep. The emails.
Just rally.
Yeah, let's find his emails. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Okay, we got to talk about this weird Zach Wilson situation. We're taping this early afternoon on Monday, so we don't know what's going to get said to the media later. So we're just going to, you know, whatever, fly by the seat of our pants and figure out what happened. Let's talk about what happened in the first half. So Zach is in there. The line no-shows him. He gets hit repeatedly in his whatever first 10, 15 snaps, whatever it was, hits his head on the turf, and falls down. I don't remember if I saw the replay of him hitting his head on the turf, but goes to the locker room early, like is kind of on the sideline, whatever, figuring things out. The offense, I guess, moves on without him, with Simeon in there. It's no different, worse. But then we get this weird sideline report that, you know, that there's some hydration issues. That's why he's going in to the, he'd been in, I think, the medical tent, and then goes into the locker room to get hydrated. But then we get this, you know, report afterwards that he actually was, you know, in the concussion protocol. So, like, Josh, what are we to make of this? How are we supposed to read this situation? Is this just as it appears and we just should take it at face value? Or are there more things underlying all of this?
I am baffled. I am baffled by how and why this coaching staff and franchise covers for Zach, to the point of if there's an actual injury, why are we either covering it up, or if it was hydration, then who said head injury? The leaks in the organization are a problem. The way that things are communicated clearly are not orchestrated with any sort of game plan. Everybody's just kind of saying stuff. And so I don't know, I think it was Schefter said initially hydration issue, and then Ian Rappaport said head injury. Just the massive difference in those two injuries or situations is very confusing to understand what exactly happened with him. If he was in the tent and then said, I'm thirsty, like, why does that rise to the level of we got to get him back to the locker room as if we're playing, you know, in 120 degree Miami on September 3rd? Like, I don't understand why the hydration thing, if he was cramping, like I don't understand the covering of this guy. It's just all been very bizarre, and it's from Salah's pressers to, again, how injuries are being reported, what actually happened and when. Why can't we just say, yeah, he hit his head and we want to evaluate him more? Because that's clear cut. The hydration thing coming into play is super confusing, unless we're going to go get some of Tom Brady's anti-concussion water and cut this thing off.
Oh, no, I thought that was Russell Wilson's. Does Tom Brady have anti-concussion water too?
I'm sure they both do. MJ's special stuff. From Space Jam. Yeah, I don't know what the actual incident was. I don't think anybody does, but the fact that there were two different reports about it is just evidence that things are just a mess and are not getting better. People are just saying whatever they think, and I don't know why there were two massively different things reported at the same time. Very confusing.
There was a third. They said he had a wrist injury first.
Oh, I must have missed that one.
Yeah, they said he had a wrist injury because he was on the sidelines messing with his wrist, and then they said it was hydration. Then they said it was a head injury, but he wasn't in concussion protocol. And now they say that he might have been in concussion protocol. Yeah, it's
the best person who has the story kind of the most is Jeff Darlington. You can find him on Twitter, or you can just like Google Zach Wilson concussion, head injury, whatever, hydration. And what you'll find is an article on The Big Lead. And basically you know, it's like a lot of thing, but basically here was Darlington's final update on this. So he says, final update. So per the Jets, he left the first half early because of, quote, hydration. He didn't come out for second half due to head injury, but wasn't yet being evaluated for concussion. He then entered concussion protocol for the second time of the game and was ruled out. So that's how it ended, but here's how it all went down. So first at, you know, whatever, 2:45 p.m., Jets PR tell me Zach Wilson went into the locker room, not with an injury, but hydration. Okay, so that was Wilson not under center to start the second half. Then PR tells me that he's out with a head injury. Does that mean he's in a concussion? No, he's not in a concussion, and he's not in the protocol. Then he's out of the game with a head injury, right? And like, it's just like the staff, like, it's like what I think, Josh, what you were kind of alluding to is like, sometimes when you lie, you can't keep track of what's actually true anymore and what's a lie mm-hmm. anymore. And this is to me, this feels like one of those situations. I don't know. Maybe they're doing their best. Maybe they're, you know, maybe everybody's doing, you know, like doing what they're told or whatever, but it feels to me like one of these situations where, you know, just they can't even keep track of what's true and what's false. Do you agree or disagree? Or I don't know. Am I so cynical?
No, I don't think that you're so cynical. I do think that it's just strange. Like, if we're constantly in this coach speak world with a quarterback who is so fragile that we have to constantly present to the media that we're behind him and that he's learning and that, yeah, he wants to take some of those back, but he's harder on himself. Like, we've been doing this for how long? Like, it's just rinse and repeat. And so even the dysfunction down to, okay, if he had a head injury and is in the concussion protocol, then just say that. No one's going to fault you as an organization for just going, yeah, he had a head injury and he gave a really weird answer in the tent, so we wanted to bring him back and do some further evaluation. Or if it's a wrist injury, then just say it's a wrist injury. Like, why there's now, you know, I didn't even realize the wrist injury part, but three different reasons just speaks to the fact that we're covering something for him that I don't understand. Like, why can't we just call a spade and say that he's a young quarterback who's not progressed, and so we're going to go to Trevor. Or, you know, he had an injury at halftime, so we're going to Trevor. Like, the inconsistency and the difference is just evidence that someone somewhere is not being honest about him or in the organization. And that's more frustrating to me than the actual situation of Zach. It's the covering for Zach. It's the making excuses. It's different people saying different things for different motives. Like, that's the dysfunction that's breeding out across the whole team.
I think it was them trying to cover up them bungling the whole thing. I think that, because like Darlington said, it was his second time in the concussion protocol. I think that it got bungled that he had, you know, the concussion. I've had concussions playing football. You have a headache, you know, if it's mild, I mean, yeah, you can feel like you're just dehydrated and foggy and, you know, needs some hydration. Like, I can see that being the thing. And then, you know, them just saying, oh, get some water, you're dehydrated. We already put you through protocol and you didn't have it. And then he went in, you know, at halftime and they actually checked him out because nothing was helping. They were like, oh, shit, you do have one. Like, I feel like this whole thing was them just trying to cover the fact that they screwed up from the get-go, that he shouldn't have been out there after that first hit.
So do you all feel like this situation was – how do I say this? Like, do you feel like Zach was just like, do you think Zach quit on this team? Like, do you think it was like, I'm not going back out there? And then they made it into a concussion story, or do you feel like it was that they're, you know, the training staff, we could talk for hours on this training staff, but the training staff is just ill-equipped or what? Like, was this Zach quitting, or was this the training staff bungling the situation? What do you think, Josh and Travis?
I do think that, I mean, it's some, I think it's more the latter than the former. I don't think he is saying, I don't want to play or go back out there, at least not during the game. I mean, I think a few weeks ago, I do think it was real that he told somebody like, hey, if they're quitting on me, then why am I going back out there? Like, I do think that's probably real. But I don't think in the midst of a game that a player or anybody that wants to compete at an NFL level is just going, no, man, I don't want to go back out there. I don't think that's true. So I do think that there's some sort of, all right, well, we got to say it's this because if we say it's that, but then this guy said something different. I do agree with Travis that there's just some problem within the training, the training department.
Training.
But I also think it bleeds across the entire organization as it pertains to Zach, that nobody seems to be on the same page with how they feel about him. And everybody seems to be afraid to just say like, he's a bust. Like he's not a surefire top 10 quarterback like we drafted him to be. He's not going to be that guy. And everybody's afraid to say it. And so then everybody just starts saying everything else except that. So I do think it's more dysfunction with the organization, with the training staff than it is with Zach going, no, I bumped my head. No, it's a wrist injury. No, I need water. Like, I don't think he's changing the phrasing of that. Unless truly he was concussed and maybe
it's not like my 10-year-old said, trying to make every excuse to stay home from school. Is that what you're telling me?
That's my kids this morning. My son came in this morning happy as could be. And then when I told him it was a school day, suddenly he was keeled over. So I don't think it's that. I don't think that he's my 5-year-old.
Okay. Travis, thoughts on that? Do you feel like this was,
with as serious as the NFL is trying to be, or at least tell everyone they're trying to be with concussions, I don't think that there's any way that you're faking a concussion, especially a team faking a concussion to the NFL, because if that got out, or if there was even, thought of that, like that would be a real PR nightmare for not just the Jets, but for the NFL as a whole.
Yeah. That's fair.
So I don't think that there's any kind of conspiracy thing behind this outside of, like I said, the Jets giving 9 answers because they screwed up and should have had the right answer the first time.
Okay.
I'm with Josh. Like, I feel like, probably mentally, like he is like, fuck this shit, peace. I don't want to do this anymore. He's not doing it. He would not have gone out there and taken the lumps that he was taking. There's a lot more things that you can say is wrong with you than, the most serious thing of a concussion, to get yourself benched. I don't think that there's any truth behind any kind of conspiracy thing, but I don't blame him for not wanting to play. And, I wouldn't either. I mean, shit, I don't even want to watch them half the time.
You're generous.
I'm looking at my wife constantly.
Well, you're talking about the offensive side. It's the defense. Yeah. But even yesterday, no answers yesterday.
Even for me, though, I mean, I'm sitting on the couch midway through the second quarter telling my wife, no, I think I have a head injury. No, I need to go get a glass of water. I'm looking to get out of it as well. I don't blame him at all.
That's so good. All right. Okay. There was this weird moment where it looked like Garrett Wilson was yelling at Aaron Rodgers. Travis, since you watched the whole game, I'm guessing you saw more of that than I did, because I was watching the Russians dance, do their cartwheels and stuff during the Nutcracker yesterday. So what happened? What happened?
I mean, I'm terrible at reading lips. I should have sent this to my brother because he's been deaf most of his life, so he can he's pretty damn good at reading lips, but I haven't. But I mean, to me, it looks like it's overblown to a certain extent. It really looks like him talking about, routes, pass play kind of stuff. And it really looks like he's complaining about the quarterback play, but also probably the scheme and the way things are being done within the scheme on field. So it doesn't look like it's anything more than that. It's him going to Aaron and saying, I maybe if you were on the field, like this would fucking work. I think it was overblown. He's obviously frustrated. Like if you saw his post game interview, but I don't think that was indicative of it. Like the thing that was more damning to me was them cutting to Aaron Rodgers and him just with a look of utter disgust on his face and probably a solid 45 seconds of head shaking, which is a lot of head shaking. I mean, it was almost uncomfortable just watching him just continuously shake his head over
give
whatever.
Yourself a concussion. Give yourself a concussion shaking your head that much, man.
Yeah.
It's no good. It's no good. Well, all right. We got to go. I got important stuff to do for my real work. And I know you guys have busy stuff. This is Josh as a minister. You've got a lot going on this week. Travis, you are dancing between the raindrops of holiday parties and white elephants in the restaurant and corporate events and family events. So I'm going to let you guys get back to it. But like, before we do, like, how much longer of a leash does Joe Douglas get? Does he get any leash? Like, this is his team. This is his handpicked team. We're going to talk more about this in the weeks ahead, but do we still give him the benefit of the doubt, or do we not do that, Josh?
He's got a longer leash than I have with just about everybody else in the organization. But the complete lack of offensive line depth, was jarring. Like it imploded the entire season. And as an NFL GM, you have to think that that's a baseline pursuit, especially knowing if you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers, competent offensive line play in front of him is going to be massively important. Can't control injuries to an extent, although I also want to have a word with the training staff. But it's a longer leash, but it's still a leash, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right. I agree. All right. We're going to leave it there. We will talk to you all next week after this epic battle against the Commanders. I hope you guys are ready. This is going to be some hellacious football. Hellacious football. Between the Jets and the Commanders.
Hoo-wee.
Yeah, we'll be back. I don't know when we're going to do a podcast because Monday is Christmas. So we'll be back at some point. No promises, but we'll be back, we promise, at some point, or maybe some sort of shortened version of it, probably a little later in the week than you usually see us. Guys, all the best to you and your families this Christmas. Hope you have a merry and safe holiday. Listeners, same to you. Hope you guys have a great holiday, great end of the year. Feel free to turn off the Jets at any point. You know what's coming. You know the product you're going to be getting. So enjoy some time with some mulled wine or eggnog with your family instead of watching this team. That's what I did yesterday, and I had the best time. All right, everybody, we will see you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.